IVM.
Hello and welcome to another midweek IPL special episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast, brought to you by SEAT Tires. I'm your host again this week, Ashwin. I think I've hosted 3-4 weeks in a row, but I'm joined by DJ in London. As always, if you're used to listening to midweek episodes, Varun does not join us because it is now 4:30 or 5 in the morning his time in Singapore. But DJ, happy to have you here. Pretty exciting, right? IPL is alive and kicking. What are we, 15, 16 games in? Pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're still, so to speak, in the power play overs of the IPL 2021. So things are pretty exciting. Yeah, there have been some great games since you guys last recorded. So glad to be back on the pod to talk about them.
So we last recorded on Sunday, which would have been after the first game, before the second game. And there were bits and pieces during the episode when Delhi was playing. So clearly I was a little bit distracted. I was trying to summarize, okay, 5 games have happened since then because doubleheader Sunday, doubleheader Wednesday, and then of course Monday, Tuesday. But Delhi has won 2 games in 2 different cities. Is up at near the top of the table, but in third place. Chennai has won 2 games, both in Mumbai at the Wankhede. Delhi won both their games chasing. Chennai won both their games batting first by pretty noticeable margins, so much so that Chennai is now at the top of the table. And Hyderabad registered their first points just earlier today as we record this. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting as a trend, right? It seems pretty clearly they're starting to become a little bit of a divide between the top teams and the bottom, or is it far too early to say that?
No, I'm glad Hyderabad got some points because for a while it looked like they may be... it was a 7th and 8th place clash that took place today, right, between the PBKS and the SRH. So it was good to see that the SRH actually got some points on the board. Warner had a big smile on his face. Delhi, as you said, have won 2 games since we last recorded, so it's been pretty good. And the big surprise to a lot of people is CSK, top of the table, man. Who would have thought that after they've played 4 games, 1-3, only lost the game against the Delhi Capitals. So, the old CSK magic seems to be returning slowly but surely. Very interesting scenes. Very interesting.
Yeah, if you can't tell from DJ's voice, he's just a little bit excited to see both his teams, Delhi and Chennai, currently sitting, what is it, first for Chennai, third for Delhi. So, not too bad. Not too bad, DJ. But it's still an early tournament. I don't know what it is. Delhi looks pretty solid to me. Mumbai, as always, looks pretty solid. And Bangalore actually looking pretty good. It just still feels like CSK, despite results, just look a little shaky to me.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the net run rate joke to come, but I'm not sure it's going to come yet. Maybe later in the season.
So, maybe later in the season. This is our special Wednesday midweek episode during IPL. This is our second one of the IPL. We're going to run down the 5 matches and just kind of talk about a few things that happened. So in the 11th match, which was Delhi's last match at the Wankhede Stadium in Mumbai, Punjab went into bat first, made 195. Mayank finally came good. Pretty exciting. None of the Delhi bowlers really stood out. Ashwin continues to be like sort of economical, but not taking wickets. Nobody really stood out. I want to ask you about a topic I think in our, what are we at, 170-something episodes, we have probably discussed 50 times. And that is Mr. KL Rahul's strike rate. All the flack. The team got to 195 at the Wankhede. All the discussion is 61 off of 51 as the captain at the top of the order is just not good enough. DJ, do you agree? Disagree?
So it's weird, right, with KL Rahul. I mean, I keep going back to that innings where he played quickly. I keep going back to the season where he was smashing
Sorry,
it everywhere.
Can I just say, anytime you begin to respond with your hand, for those who are listening, this won't make sense. But if you're watching on YouTube, DJ just buried his face in his palm and took a deep sigh. I think that answers the question for me enough. But sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
Yeah, I really like this player, man. I like KL Rahul. I want him to do well, not only for the Punjab Kings, but also for India in all formats, really. I mean, he's a great player to watch. He's someone who's been around on the scene for a while. He did very well while he was at the RCB. He had a good run with the Indian team, fairly consistent. But now this question has arisen around his strike rate. And it keeps going back to that comment he made last year about strike rate is overrated. And it's a little weird with like Mayank Agarwal. Mayank Agarwal actually got off to a flyer in this game. But when Mayank gets off to a flyer, it isn't like KL needs to slow down and bat, which is what almost he was doing. He's giving his Karnataka teammate the single, he was giving his PBKS teammate the single to take the strike. But imagine KL and Mayank going great guns from both ends. I mean, which team wants to see that? And for a while, we were already, as Delhi Capitals fans, we were pretty tense about the situation with Mayank going ballistic with that Seattle bat flashing all over the place, the ball flying everywhere. I mean, just imagine if KL had joined in the carnage with Gale, Pooran, Hooda, all of these guys to follow him. There was no need for him to play at that rate. But who knows what goes through his head, man? Maybe he just thinks that, maybe he's listening too much to Sunil Gavaskar, who says, hit a four and take a single, which, I mean, it's not the way you play T20 cricket. So, and in the final analysis, they fell short, right? Delhi chased the runs down easily. So it looks really, really bad in hindsight when you lose. Unlike when you play an 18 of 17 type of innings, which kind of sucks the life out of the game, like Thala played for the CSK, but the team wins, so nobody cares about that. But and I saw a ridiculous stat where KL Rahul and I think Manish Pandey, KL has played 10 innings where he scored a 50 and lost the game, and Pandey has played 7 innings where his team has he scored 50, but his team has lost. Which is just, I mean, it's just a shocking stat for a player of his caliber. So someone needs to look into it, man. It's just, it's the same story repeated. It's just a bit, getting a bit old now.
Yeah, what I worry about is that Manish Pandey isn't the skipper, right? So he's not dictating the tone for his team. Yes, it's still equally unfortunate. Doesn't matter as much. I think Rahul's impact, the negative impact, if you will, is amplified because he's the skipper. And so that shows up in his attitude. That shows up in how he's portraying himself on the field. It shows up in how his team ends up reacting. I mean, something has to change for the Punjab Kings. We'll talk about it later. I do think, I wonder if Gale just needs to go back to opening and smash, bang, wallop a little bit. If he gets out in three balls, he does. If he lasts and makes it big, he does. But something has to change. You cannot keep trying the same thing. And I'm not just talking about the four games they've played this season that have them right now at the bottom of the table. I'm talking about all of last season. It felt like this was the storyline with Punjab.
And the frustration is, you know he has that extra gear. You know he can accelerate. You know he can go from ball one as well. Unlike a Manish Pandey, who you know takes time to get into the game, right? So that's where I think the frustration is coming from the Punjab Kings and KL Rahul fans, including me. I like watching the guy bat. I enjoy watching him bat. I put him as my fantasy captain. And instead of KL Rahul, he's been KL Rahul this time. So pretty sad.
Yeah, so really quickly then, two questions. New debutants, Lalit Yadav, Lukman Merivala. How excited were you for Delhi? Do you think we changed, topped and changed a little too much before was necessary?
Yeah, interesting debuts, right? Because we played Steve Smith, which is what necessitated that change instead of Ajinkya Rahane, who looked quite out of sorts. Didn't really know much about Lukman Merivala. But Lalit Yadav, his claim to fame is he's hit 6 sixes in an over twice as a schoolboy. So clearly a big hitter, clearly someone who's impressed in the nets, and he can bowl as well. So looks like a decent prospect for the Delhi Capitals and the IPL as a whole. Maybe an interesting pick in next auction. He did well in the Delhi versus Mumbai game as well, which we'll talk about later. He seems like a guy with his head screwed on the right way. And good to see Delhi trying out these fringe players early on in the tournament instead of having to get to the business end of the tournament and then play a Praveen Dubey in the qualifiers, right? So, a fan of that approach from the Delhi Capitals for sure.
Last one before we keep moving on this game. We talk about Thala. We talk about Chinna Thala. We talk about the hit ban. We talk about the king. Let's talk for a second about Gabbar. Orange cap holder right now. Made a phenomenal 92. I mean, all I want to say is, I mean, I think when you're chasing 196... no matter what stadium, what ground, what bowling attack, it's not easy in T20 cricket. And did it with 10 balls to spare. Shikhar made 92. Just looked magnificent. I mean, this is a guy who we've also criticized about strike rate. Said he doesn't belong in the Indian T20 setup. Doesn't bat fast enough. What a reinvention, right?
Yeah, since last year, he's just reinvented his entire game. He's striking at like 150. Key player. We've said it before. Earlier, we said Shaw and Pant would be the players for Delhi this season. Shikhar Dhawan has basically completely come. I've actually just started calling him Shekhar, weirdly.
If it's good enough for Dada, it's good enough for you, I think.
True, indeed. But he's just had such a breakthrough season in last year, and then he's continued in that vein. So all the people who say that he's too old, he doesn't bat quickly enough, I think this is a big middle finger to those guys, just saying, look at me, I'm wearing the orange cap. Or in his case, actually, he doesn't really wear any cap most of the time while batting. So there's some great memes going around about Shikhar Dhawan, out on zero smiling, out on 98 smiling, out on 150 smiling. Shikhar is just one of those people who's always got a smile on his face. He gets out, he's smiling, his catch is grounded, he's smiling, catch is taken, he's smiling. So just a lovely player to have in the side, and just great value on the field as well as off the field. Terrific fielder as well. I mean, remember the value he's adding in the field including for people who are captaining him in fantasy, right? So lots of catches for points. Really pleased to see him do well. I mean, he's a slightly older player, but he's showing that experience counts a lot in the T20 game. It's not just young legs. It's a clever mind and a body that's still able to do the bidding of his cricketing brain. So pleased to see Shikhar do well.
Yeah, could not agree more. Really well said. Outstanding 6-wicket win for Delhi over the Punjab Kings. Only a day off for Delhi before they faced the reigning champions, the Mumbai Indians. But in that day off, CSK played Rajasthan Royals, also at the Wankhede. We knew that 195 there was chased down the previous day. We know that, you know, no total is safe at the Wankhede. Interestingly, I thought CSK got to 188 for 9. So a pretty good score, but obviously you never want to lose 9 wickets. Chetan Sakaria took 3 wickets. Morris ended up picking up 2. Nothing to write home about. Duplessis looked okay. Muin looked okay. Rayudu looked okay. Everybody got off to starts. I'm not going to press you on the Thala innings because just from a time standpoint in the midweek episode, I'm not going to bother you about 18 from 17. But I do want to call out that he walked in at number 7 on this particular day. I want to ask you about that Rajasthan Royals chase and where it fell apart. Right? You have Butler and Vora opening, and Butler looked good. But really, after that, nobody came good. And I just specifically want to ask you about Moeen Ali. You've been a big advocate of his. He came good, obviously, in this game. Also came good later with the bat. But 3 overs, 3 wickets for 7 runs. I mean, 100% changed the game, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But actually, the game changed when Jadeja got Butler. Because at one stage, Rajasthan were absolutely cruising that chase. They were in the 11th over. They were 87 for 2. Josh Butler was at the crease. Yes, they'd lost Sanju Samson, but I mean, as long as Butler is at the crease, one of the most dangerous white ball players in the world, you're never out of the game, right? And Rajasthan looked like they had that completely under control. They had batsmen like Dubey to come. They had the guy who took them home against India, Morris. When I say India, the Delhi Capitals. Morris, he had David Miller to come. Riyan Parag was yet to come. So that ball from Jadeja, which spun a little bit, which was surprising at the Wankhede, it kind of changed the game. And Moeen Ali just cashed in on that completely. It was really quite good to see Moeen Ali pick up those wickets. He got Miller, he got Riyan Parag out. He also picked up Chris Morris. But the Rajasthan Royals kind of threw the game away a little bit, if you ask me. I don't know whether that's a fair assessment or not. But in Mumbai, you didn't need to go that hard. Like someone like a Morris or a Miller didn't need to go that hard so early on into their innings. I thought they could have taken it deeper. As it turned out, really, I mean, they fell well short of the target. 143 for 9, right, is what they got. So, didn't plan it well. And the second half just completely fell away. So, well done to the CSK spinners for dominating the game, even in a batting-friendly track like the Wankhede.
Yeah, really well said. That actually brings us to our first SIAT Award of the Week. And it's not a player this time. It's not a pair of players this time. We have actually decided we're going to give it, I'm not 100% sure how excited I am, but as a podcast, we're pretty excited to give the Seattle Security Drive Award of the Week to the Chennai Super Kings as a whole. Pretty phenomenal comeback. They had a horrific season last year. Even going into this year, many of the pundits, probably including all three of us, didn't really think they would do very well.
But oh, I give them a playoff spot.
Out of emotion, not truly strategically. And here they are sitting, you know, kind of week and a half into the tournament, they're sitting at the top of the table. So kudos to the Chennai Super Kings team. What's the line we use? Reliability, stability, all of the above. Just
safety,
showed up really
playing
strong.
It safe. They've done it all. They've done it all, sitting pretty at the top of the table.
Absolutely. They are the SIAT Secura Drive winners of this week, the first award we're giving out for this week. With that, we're actually going to take a quick SIAT strategic timeout. We'll be back to talk the second 3 games, and we'll wrap up with a little bit about how our fantasy league is doing, which, DJ, I might ask you to do because it's not going so hot for me the last few days.
No, and I actually get really excited every time I see the SIAT Secura Drive strategic timeout on the screen. I want to take like a photo of it.
It's pretty
really
cool, right?
So yeah,
anyway,
I have to say.
We'll be right back after this SIAT strategic timeout.
Hey, Have you ever wondered where the business world is headed? How the ways in which we create, market, and sell to consumers will evolve? Or if we'll ever go back to wearing pants while working? For answers to all of this and more, tune into Advertising is Dead with me, Varun Dugirala. Every Tuesday, as I talk to entrepreneurs, leaders, and change makers from across business, media, marketing, and beyond. You can catch all episodes of Advertising is Dead on the IBM Podcast website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast, powered by Seat Tires. Tuesday rolled around. Delhi made the trip overnight, basically, from Mumbai to Chennai. Weirdly enough, playing against Mumbai now in Chennai, this whole home game, away game is really interesting. Mumbai batted first. DJ, I know we need to be balanced and cover all sides, but I know I also end up spending most of my time when I host talking about the Delhi game because they're just so exciting. Mumbai batted first. Amit Mishra came back into the side. So, you know, a little bit disappointing for Lukman Merriweather to miss out. But obviously, you know, no spoilers, but in hindsight, turned out to be the right call. Chris Wokes missed out and Shimron Hetmyer came in as well. And, you know, arguably did pretty well too. But walk me through this, right? Mumbai Indians lost a quick wicket, again, looked pretty solid in the power play, getting to 67 for one before they lost the second wicket of Yadav. And then just kind of imploded, right? Rohit perished to Amit Mishra. Then he got Kishan. He got Hardik Pandya and he got Pollard. A phenomenal spell of 4 for 24. Mishraji's just here, man. He never ages. He just shows up, picks up 4 wickets. Like, phenomenal backup guy to have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a legend of IPL cricket and Indian cricket Mishraji has been. So interesting change of scene, right? From the 1K day where Delhi were scoring big and big scores were being chased down to the Chennai Stadium, right? Where spin has kind of ruled the roost from the very start. We saw Rahul Chahar do pretty well. So all the talk before the game was, oh, Mumbai have been here throughout. They'll be used to the conditions. You saw them playing an additional spinner. Milne was left out. They brought Jayant Yadav in, who seems to be a Delhi Capital special, right? And I don't actually know who we left out. We left out Lukman Merriweather, right? And we brought in Amit Mishra and he went for 16 runs of his first 8 balls, if I'm not wrong, right? They took a liking to him. Surya swept him. Surya hit a brilliant shot over cover. But once Rohit got out, I think he only gave away 8 runs to pick up 4 wickets. And that was the spell which Mishraji, once Mishraji gets on a roll, he's so hard to stop. And you could argue that it was poor batting by the Mumbai batsman. You saw Hardik Pandya get out identically to Rohit Sharma, like in the same over. So you've lost Hardik and Rohit in the same over. Pollard was completely clueless to Mishraji's googly. And the only like sad thing for me was this game, like one game too late for the Delhi Capitals. If this had happened last year in the final, that would have been amazing.
Four in a row we lost last year to Mumbai.
Yeah, four in a row, right? And so it seemed like a bit of a Houdini act that we pulled from nowhere, where managed to beat the defending champions. And there's quite a lot of good chat on our Discord, actually, around whether the pitches are bad for T20 cricket or whether the batting was bad. Now, I'm not saying the pitch is bad. I think it's a tough pitch. It's a tough pitch for T20 cricket. But remember, Chennai play all their matches on these pitches. Chennai have shown the way to play these games and Mumbai have recognized that. Mumbai have won games playing like that. Mumbai, again, won the toss and batted first here. So any dew that came down, they only had themselves to blame for it at the end of it. So what this home, this lack of home games has done is that it's almost evened out the contest between teams. So the better all-round teams, in my opinion, will do better in this year's IPL. You don't have like Chennai winning 7 games in a row at the Chepauk Stadium, or you have Mumbai smashing 300 every match in the Wankhede Stadium, or KKR bowling its spinners in the Eden Garden. So everyone, they're rotating through the various grounds. They're playing at Ahmedabad, they're playing at Chennai, they're playing at the Wankhede. So it's going to be super interesting to see what happens. And very interesting how teams have changed their strategy as they've changed locations, right? So Delhi, you saw, brought in another spinner, brought in a player like Hetmyer, who in the end played quite a crucial cameo. He didn't need to score those many runs, but you just needed that extra additional impetus, which Hetmyer brought the Delhi Capitals.
Yeah, perfectly said. Mumbai made 137 thanks to Mishraji's 4 for, which was a great entry to this year's IPL. And the Delhi Capitals end up chasing it down with just 5 balls to spare, right? So really quickly, Shaw perished, but that's okay. We're used to Shaw doing well one game, not well the other. Shikhar again, I mentioned Shikhar again, but this guy made 92 of 49 the previous game on a completely different track, made 45 of 42 in this game on a completely different track. Beautifully anchored the innings. Steve Smith came in to accompany him, made 33 of 29, which is incidentally the exact score Kohli's made twice so far this IPL, which was pretty entertaining to see there.
Fantastic cameo, right? That's what Matthew Hayden called it.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I'd say given that the team ended up, exactly as you said about Rahul, right? Given that the team ended up winning, 110, 115 strike rate is perfect. If they come up short, not quite the same. Lalit Yadav ended up striking 22 of 25 at just 88. But had he gotten out earlier, you have to believe Pant, Hetmeyer, Stoinis may have imploded, collapsed. And so he actually, to me, played a really crucial knock. And then Hetmeyer, like you said, came in and finished it off, made 14 off 9. So another great win for Delhi, always satisfying to beat the Mumbai Indians. And with that, we come to this morning's doubleheader. The first match of which was Punjab versus Hyderabad. So we talked about it briefly, but you said number 7 versus number 8. Whew, DJ, on paper, man, I woke up at 5 a.m. to watch this, but on paper, this is like the most boring game. Like neither side is playing exciting cricket at all. Of course, now they're playing at Chennai too. I mean, I hate to say this, we'll probably lose some fans who are fans of either side, but on paper, just such an uneventful game. And honestly, it really lived up to that, right? Punjab getting 120 all out, Hyderabad taking almost 19 overs to chase it down. It just was not fun cricket to watch. But am I being too harsh?
See, it wasn't fun because the main players got out early. Like KL went early, Gale went early, Mayank didn't get runs. Punjab were never really in the game. But my question actually is for you. Do you enjoy watching games that are low scoring, like the games that have been there in Chennai, like 130, 140, 150 scores? Or, and I know you're going to say, okay, not every game should be 220, but should we be looking at a mean between like 160, 170 type of games?
So I know I'm going to say this with an air of bias because of Delhi, because it was Delhi, but I enjoyed the Delhi-Mumbai game. The 137, 138, it felt like, you know, Rohit, it made me appreciate how beautifully Rohit batted, to be honest, to make 44 of 30 on a tough pitch. Surya actually looked really good too, right? You said, talked about that sweep. He made 24 of 15. And then the bowlers kind of, so there was this ebb and flow a little bit. The batter's hit came out hitting. Then it then stemmed back. Shikhar had to check himself, but still hit some good shots. So I guess I thought that game was more entertaining. I think Punjab making 120, no real bowler necessarily stood out. Khalil got 3. One of which was, you know, 2 of which were right at the end. There was no real outstanding, but it was just low scoring games can be fun because the bowlers bowled brilliantly and some batters did well and some just fell apart. I think if it's just low scoring because nobody stands up, I find those boring.
But do you think we're going to lose a neutral for these Chennai games, man? That's a worry. Like Delhi, of course, we enjoyed because we're Delhi fans, but how much would a neutral have tuned into that? And is that a good thing for the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm just trying to do them. I think there's only 2 more games at Chennai, right?
Okay.
Punjab plays Bombay on Friday or Mumbai on Friday. Delhi plays Hyderabad on Sunday. And then that's it. Chennai's done hosting for the tournament. So now this will happen at other grounds too. Probably not as bad as at the Chepauk, but in Chennai, it's going to happen. Or in other cities, it's going to happen too because they're using the same pitches over and over again. But anyway, let's talk about this match really quickly, right? Rahul ended up falling short. Mayank looked okay. Sharuk looked okay. 120, almost in 9. Like, they basically batted in a run ball. Nothing to write home about. Johnny Bairstow came pretty good, right? Warner looked good, made 37. Bairstow made 63 of 56. I was actually excited to see Kane Williamson because although he batted at less than a run a ball, he knew exactly what was needed. He didn't panic. He just showed up. First match of this year's IPL, consolidated. A few days ago in the episode with Varun, I was saying Kane Williamson is what needs to come back and make the Hyderabad side whole again. And he did, and they won. So let's act like I knew what I was talking about. But anything to highlight from this match? Like, does Punjab just need to change their game plan?
I don't know. I think they just need to play better. They need to execute better. They need to not, I think Pooran hasn't scored a run for them yet, right? And today he was run out by Warner without facing a ball. So
is he Pooran or is he no run?
Oh, no run. We've got no run, man. Steve Smith, what a player. Right now Pooran is currently Churan, sadly. Cannot score a run.
Pooran has 0 of 0, 0 of 1, and 0 of 2 this year's IPL.
What?
That's pretty impressive.
That is an insane stat. I didn't realize that. That is pretty good.
I read that somewhere. It may be fake news, but I definitely read somewhere that he has 0-0-0-4-0-2, which I
think. So he scored three ducks already, and the IPL's barely started. I do feel bad for him. He's a class player, man, and when he fires, he's great to watch. So let's see how they deal with him. Maybe the patience is going to run out. Interesting point about this, Ashwin. This game, Manish Pandey was dropped. I find that an extremely interesting move by the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Brought in Kedar Jadhav, who we all thought was a good acquisition for them to guide that middle order through the middle phases of a T20 game. And he was all over the game. He was diving around. He was taking catches. He didn't get to bat, but what do you make of the Pandey drop?
I think sort of inevitable. I do think it's not the last we've seen of him in this IPL. I think he'll come back. I think they'll find a spot for him. I still don't think, by the way, despite the win, Hyderabad found their perfect winning combination. I still don't think you can play Virat Singh at 4, Shankar at 5, Abhishek Sharma at 6. Jadhav at 7 definitely helps, but there'll still be some chopping and changing from Hyderabad, and I think Manish will find his way back. But it was the right move, I think, for this match, and also maybe light a little bit of a fire under Manish, right?
Yeah, and Abhishek Sharma did pretty well, actually. The young players seem to be doing fairly well. I also liked, I think one of the highlights of this week for me was Riyan Parag's catching. I really did enjoy his kind of nonchalant catching for the last 3-4 games. Yeah, it's great. I really enjoy Riyan Parag, actually, as a player. I like him.
Yeah. All right, final game of this week's midweek episode to cover, because we got lots of exciting cricket coming between now and when we see you again on Sunday, including a doubleheader on Sunday, which is going to be fun. But CSK playing KKR, right? CSK batted first again at the Wankhede. Made 220, right? So, DJ, I just want to quickly ask you about CSK. I will spend most time on the chase, but Gaikwad came good, right? This is a classic tale of CSK backing the players. Despite him having three rough matches, they backed him. He still looked a little shaky in the first couple of hours, and then he unleashed, started hitting beautifully, made 64. Faf, similar story, right? Faf will always have one or two tough games and then made a magnificent 95 not out. Harsh to be left on the other end. And then Thala walked out 2 down for some reason this match and made 17 off 8. Started looking pretty good. I think, 2 fours and a 6? But 220, right? Against a pretty formidable KKR bowling lineup, including Narayan, Nagarkoti, Cummins, Chakravarti. Pretty good score.
Yeah, it was a pretty good score in the end. I mean, at one stage, it looked like it was going to be a huge win for the CSK. But as you said, Ruthuraj Gaikwad, man, the knives were out for him after that last game. Even the way he got out, people weren't happy with that. They said he didn't have the muscle to hit the ball away. But you've seen in the last IPL, he scored 350s in a row. He's more of a touch player than a guy who muscles the ball away. And today we saw him regained some of that touch. So that was good news for the CSK fans. Faf du Plessis, man, what do you say about him? He's been one of those evergreen CSK players, right? I've always remembered him playing for the CSK with that little towel tucked into his trousers. And ever since those days, he's been a mainstay of the CSK lineup, even played some great innings for them, even guiding them into like a playoff final and stuff. So good to see the old war horses scoring at above 150, and including MS Dhoni, strike rate of 212.5. Promoted himself, as you like to say. He led from the front, like this is some kind of war. But 17 of 8, good to see Thala. I mean, as I say, the great man, we're just enjoying the last hurrah, the last dance. Enjoy it while it lasts, guys. It's been some ride.
So chasing 200 and, what do they need? 221. KKR gets to 31 for 5. I don't even have much to say. Another Deepak Chahar special. He was our Seattle Award winner last week. He's not winning it this week because somebody else is. But at 31 for 5, you think game over. They had promoted Narayan to bat at 5. Morgan still has looked shaky. The three young Indians at the top of the order have done pretty well in the season, but didn't perform, all made single-digit scores today. Karthik came in, put up a pretty good partnership with Russell, ended up on 40 of 24. Russell just looked like the Russell of old, started belting the ball all around the park, made 54 of 22. Looked like he, at one point, he's going to take them home. I mean, if you thought the 212 from Dhoni and 208 strike rates from Moeen were good, Russell ended up in 245 strike rate. And then the bigger surprise for me is Pat Cummins. He's looked horrendous with the ball. I think he gave 58 runs again this match, just not looked good with the ball at all. And, you know, they said they bought him for his all-around ability, even though he's definitely much better, a world-class bowler than he is a batsman. But made 66 off 34, left unbeaten on the end, but unfortunately two of his partners at the end got run out. So this week's SIAT Puncture Resistant Awards go to both shared by Andre Russell and Pat Cummins, who both had a tough start. I mean, before the game, I was talking to my friend about if they don't perform, they both need to get dropped. You got to bring in a Lockie Ferguson. You got to, you know, just give yourself some options with for the overseas players with KKR. But Russell and Cummins have each brought themselves a little bit more time. So for the ability to carry on despite the attacks, Andre Russell and Pat Cummins are this week's SIAT Tire Puncture Resistant Award winners on the Edges and Sliders Cricket Podcast. But DJ, really quickly, they fell short. KKR fell short. What do they need to change for them to really have a reasonable shot going into the back end of this tournament? Because they're now sitting third from the bottom with just one win from four matches.
So you saw they brought Narayan back in the team. And if you're going to play Sunil Narayan, you should just bat him up the order. Let him do what he can do best. He's sort of wasted it. I think he came in at number five today, scored 4 of 3 out of Cheher. And I mean, bat Russell up the order. Why not? Let him go wild. I mean, it's the first time he's got any runs with the bat. We've give him the confidence. Maybe he's a confidence player. He's picked up 5 wickets with the ball bowling at the death. He's scored a 50 now. And say, Andre, go and win us a title. Go and do it. We believe in you. We back you. It would have been easy for him to, as you say, be deflated after those performances. I think he went for 38 runs in the last game of 2 overs of AB de Villiers. Like, I mean, that guy is a genius to score those runs in Chennai. But yeah, really good to see him bounce back. Truly, truly puncher resistant, man. So deserved winner of that award. And Pat Cummins, the most expensive player last year, seemed to have found his form in the IPL towards back end of last year. We saw him hit some big sixes of Bumrah, I think it was maybe last year. But this time we saw him play with a little bit of nuance and try to get his team home. Eventually, they fell short because he was trying to kind of farm the strike, right? So he had only 5 balls left in the match when the game ended. But I don't know whether he can bat higher up. So what they want is for that top order to fire.
Yeah, I don't think you need Cummins higher up. I think if he can be a reliable number 8, that gives you a lot of depth. So fully agree there. That's it. Brings us to a wrap. The IPL points table is sitting with 6 points each, or 3 teams at 6 points each, Chennai, RCB and the Delhi Capitals with 6 points each. 4 teams tied at the bottom with just 1 win from their game so far. Hyderabad, KKR, Rajasthan and Punjab. Our fantasy league table stands just a little bit differently. So I'm going to quickly say, I think Varun is in 3rd place among the 3 of us, sitting at number 112 in the Edges and Sledges fan league. I'm at number 93, so not great. I'm happy to be ahead of Varun, but he's catching me. And DJ, you are a little bit ahead of us at number 71. But our top 3
which
teams,
is also pretty poor, man. We suck at fantasy.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I don't have a good excuse. What I will say, the top 3 teams have stayed pretty consistent. 2 of them, Liju Soman and Wissel Podumari, are still at the top. Liju Soman is now done with all their transfers, so I'm assuming they will quickly drop. Wissel Podumari has 27 left with, you know, more than 2/3 of the tournament to go. So I expect the leaderboard will change. Keep playing, keep competing with us. Thank you very much for tuning into the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. This has been our special midweek episode. We'll be back as always on Sunday. Get to us on social media at One Tip One Hand on all social handles. You can email us, contact us at contact@onetiponehand.com or join our Discord. I think there's a link to that in our Twitter. You'll find it. It's great fun. Tons of conversation. Sometimes I'll not watch for 5 overs. I'll go back to the Discord and there's 300 messages, but lots of great chat. So thanks to everybody who participates there. This has been Edges and Sledges, brought to you by SIAT Tires.
Drive safe.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On What the Hell Navya, Jaya Bachchan, Shweta Nandan, and Navya herself dish out stories from their childhood. They discuss tough love between parents and their kids. On Paisa Vaisa, Anupam talks to Baman Irani, President-elect Credai, and Chairman and MD at Rustamji. They discuss the concept of buy versus rent and how to approach buying property in 2022. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus is joined by Meghnad and comedian Shahid Shafi. They discuss their opinions on the ongoing Congress presidential elections and Prashant Kishore embarking on a Padyatra. On The Life Manifesto, Zarina narrates a story that advocates that stress and emotions are not to be controlled but must be beautifully managed. And on the Filter Coffee podcast, Karthik is joined by Yashraj Akashi, Senior Ambassador of the TEDx program and Curator of TEDx Gateway. They discuss the origin story of TED and its franchise model. Guys, go to our website, ivmpodcast.com. You can check out the merch store. Also, links to all of our social media stuff, which is at IVM Podcast. Also, do check out our YouTube channels. We have a number of channels with many of your favorite shows available as full video podcasts. Finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Volvo XC40 Recharge, Bumble, Heads Up for Tails, and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Do you often find yourself surrounded by conversations about Web3, blockchain, NFTs, DAOs? What are these terms and how do they affect our future on the internet? So many questions, but don't worry, we've got answers to all your questions. Hi, I'm Eklavya Bhattacharya, and on our show, Future Proofing, we try to decode the impact of these future technologies on various industries with experts and tech enthusiasts. Tune into new episodes coming out every Thursday on the IVM Podcast app and the website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.